Open your Bibles tonight to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. David penned that comforting verse, verse 18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit." But he wrote the words of this particular psalm at one of the low points in his life that was brought on by his own foolishness. And so many times the situations we find ourselves in are brought on by our own foolishness. David had trusted in the Lord. He had gone out to fight that giant Goliath. He had made a name for himself and all of Israel. And Saul had turned against him, and he had trusted in the Lord. He had had to outrun Saul, but he always trusted in the Lord. But on this occasion, David did something really stupid. There in the heading of the 34th Psalm, it gives us the setting. It says, "A Psalm of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he left." I don't know if you remember that story or not, but Goliath had come from Gath, and David had been that early opponent of the Philistines, and he had slain their hero, Goliath. And now later on, this constant enemy of Israel was out there on the southern boundary. And as he runs for his life from Saul, of all the places he could have gone, of all the hiding holes he could have found, he ran right smack dab into enemy territory. He went right to the capital city down there where the Philistines were in Gath, where Goliath and his brothers had all grown up. And it's one of those situations where you think, David, what were you thinking? And having arrived there, he realizes just what a terrible mistake he's made, because they all recognize him. And if he thought his life was in danger with Saul, it's going to be doubly in danger there in enemy territory. And so David pretends that he has lost his mind. And he begins to drool and to scratch on the gate. Well, the story is told, and let me just go back and read part of it. The story is told in 1 Samuel 21. You can just listen to this, and then we'll be back in the 34th Psalm. There in 1 Samuel 21, verse 10, it says, "That day David fled from Saul, and he went to Achish, the king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, 'Isn't this David the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances, that Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands?' David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, 'Look at the man. He's insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like that in front of me? Must this man come into my house?'" And so David makes his exit. He panicked. He did something that I'm sure he was ashamed of for the rest of his life. I suspect that he was feeling rather sheepish and a good deal foolish as he, upon reflection, sat down and penned the words of the 34th Psalm. Now, I have known people, and you have too, that made mistakes. We all make mistakes. But I've known people, and I suspect you have too, that having made one mistake, it's like they just lose their senses. And They jump out of the frying pan into the fire, and they go through a whole series of self-destructive behavior. I don't know why we as humans at times tend to act that way. We panic, and then we dig ourselves a deeper and deeper hole. Well, this psalm talks about that. And let's just back up and read the words that Wyman read for us a moment ago. David, having come out of that situation, wrote these words, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame." You know, David must have been reflecting on his own face, anything but radiant, as he pretended to be a madman, anything but a face covered with shame after that episode there in Gath. And then he gives himself a name, and he says, "This poor man." You know, David, the wonderful thing about him, the thing that we can now remember about him as being a man after God's own heart, having blown it here, having blown it with Bathsheba, having blown it in so many other areas, David always humbled himself. And so he says, "This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." You know, if David had just sat down and thought before he panicked, he knew all this. He knew all this that he wrote in the 34th Psalm before he ever ran off to Gath. But somehow in his panic, he just forgot it all. Over in chapter 35, the very next chapter, down in verses 5 and 6, as David wrote this psalm, listen to what he said about the angel and how the angel of the Lord encamps around those who trust in the Lord. There in 35:5 it says, "May they be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. May their path be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them." David knew what God can do. With one angel, he destroyed the army of Sennacherib. We read about that in 2 Kings 19. And one night, one angel wiped out an entire army. And angels are sent to be ministering servants to those whom the Lord will call. David knew that. And he knew that God's protecting angels were around him. But he forgot it somehow, and he acted stupidly. David hadn't trusted in God's protection. He had feigned madness. And he's not the only one that ever gets himself in a tight spot and then does something dishonorable or does something dishonest rather than trusting in God to see us through our difficulties. David says in verse 8 here of the 34th Psalm, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." He says, try the Lord. If you're ever tempted to act stupidly like I did, try the Lord first. He says, taste Him. It's like a child. Have you ever tried to persuade a child to taste of something they didn't want? We saw Aiden taste of his birthday cake on his first birthday yesterday. And Chris and Amanda were doing their best to get him to taste of that icing, and he wouldn't have it until finally they rubbed a little piece on his lip. And he tasted it, and he was in with both hands. All you've got to do is just taste of the Lord, just a little sample, and you'll see that the Lord is good and that He does provide for those who are His own. In verses 9 and 10, he goes on to say, "Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack nothing. No good thing." Even the king of the beasts, the most powerful of the animal kingdom, They may not be able to always provide for their young. There may be times in which they can't have an animal killed for their young, but the King of the universe never leaves his own lacking. There are two essential truths that David would learn as he moved through life. That is, God never, ever forsakes those who are his. And more than that, not only does he not forsake them, he always provides for those who are his. Now, if it appears otherwise, and David apparently felt forsaken by God as he was prompted to go into this insanity act, he may have thought, God's not going to take care of me. God's not watching over me. But we need to always consider the time element. God does everything in his own good time. And I don't know how many times, you've seen it in your life too, that God often waits until the 11th hour to provide deliverance. And I'm convinced that he does that so that we will learn the source of our deliverance, and so that we will be forced to depend on him and forced to trust in him. And when God does come through for us, then it becomes apparent that after all my resources were exhausted, that it was God who came through and saved me in the end. In James chapter 5, James writes down in verse 10, "Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about." Boy, and isn't that the story so often? What the Lord finally brought about. Here's David, he does all this craziness, and the Lord finally provides the relief and the safety and the refuge that David had been seeking all along. And for every one of us, that's the way the story will end. For every one of us who trust in the Lord, it may not look like it right now, and you may be dealing with difficulties, and you may sometimes feel panicky inside and stressed, and you don't know where the answers are going to come from. If you could only see the end of the story and see what the Lord will finally bring about in your lives, he'll never forsake you. He'll always provide for your needs. On down in verse 11, David writes, "Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil." Now, he's going to start giving some advice. It's always better to learn advice from someone who has tried and failed rather than going through that experience ourselves. So here David ends by saying, here's some basic rules for sane living. If you don't want to go crazy, if you don't want to make a fool of yourself, if you don't want to act stupidly and go off and just make the mess even worse, then try doing these things when you're facing difficulty. He says, number one, keep your tongue from evil. Psalm 15 describes such a tongue in these words, "He who speaks the truth from his heart and has not slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, that man will be saved." Now, it's very often that when we get into hot water and difficulty that we say all kinds of things that are not true and even hurtful and blaming on others, and we cast dispersions. David says, keep your tongue from evil. When you're in hot water, keep your tongue from evil. Keep your mouth closed. So that's his first advice here. Don't talk badly about others. In Proverbs 13:3, the wise man said, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." People are murdered every day across this country because they couldn't keep a civil tongue in their mouth. They say something that prompts somebody else to respond and retaliate, and it escalates, and before you know it, somebody's been shot to death. God gave us two sets of teeth and two lips to guard our one tongue with. So David says, keep your tongue from leading you deeper into trouble. And then the latter part of verse 13, he says, there, keep your lips from speaking lies. David was, in essence, living a lie. He got down there and didn't think God could save him from his bad decision to go to Achish, the king of Gath. And so he pretends to be insane when he's not insane at all. Paul would later write to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 4 and say, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Haven't we all lived long enough to know that if you are not truthful, you can't have a relationship with anyone? If you're deceitful, if you can't be trusted, there is no basis for a solid relationship. He says in verse 14, "Turn from evil." Avoid the very appearance of evil we read in the New Testament. And look at all the scars that people bear in their lives, both physically and emotionally, because of their involvement with evil. He says, "Turn from evil and do good." Do good. Are you in a difficult situation? Are you tempted to act crazily? Make a conscious decision that you will do good to those around you. What have you done today to bless those in your own family? What have you done to do good for someone, to make this world a better place? The happiest people that I know are people who regularly serve others and do a good turn and help others. This morning, Hannah Schultz was so cute. Ron and Mary's little daughter, you may have been one of the ones that she held the door for this morning. She stood out there and held the door open, and she said, "A lot of people came through the door, and 31 of them said thank you." And she was just delighted with herself, you know, just doing a good turn. Words of encouragement to the discouraged, a helping hand in time of need, a gift given at just the right time. It's more blessed to give than to receive, thus said Jesus. You know, sometimes Christians are referred to as a bunch of do-gooders, and that's used as a derogatory term. That's not a derogatory term, not to me. You can call me a do-gooder anytime because that's what Jesus did. Scripture says Jesus went about doing good. And I want to be known when my funeral is preached as someone who went about doing good things in the lives of people. David goes on to say in the last part of verse 14, "Seek peace and pursue it." If you're tempted to do something crazy, go after peace. Move in that direction. All too often, those in hot water become pot stirrers. They become agitators. They become the sources of disunity and those around them. David says it's so important when you place your trust in God to be a peace lover and a peace promoter. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." You want an abundant life? You want a sane life? You want to be able to navigate through those difficulties when you feel like you're just going to go absolutely stark raving mad, when you're going nuts sometimes because of the situation that you find yourself in? Follow David's advice in these areas, and you will find the kind of peace that David eventually found. He talks about righteous living in these words, and we'll finish with these. In verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry." Whatever he may have thought earlier, that God wouldn't hear him, he now knows, and he now pens the words, "The Lord is attentive to your cry, if you'll just cry out to him." He says, "The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Do you notice how often he keeps repeating that phrase? The Lord delivers us from all our troubles. He protects all his bones.
Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him.
You know, we all have difficult times, and it seems like trouble comes in bunches, and it just sometimes almost overwhelms us. And I look at some of you at times, and I think, I don't know how they're bearing up under the heavy load that they're having to carry. But I do know this, the Lord hears, and the Lord sees, and the Lord rescues those who are in trouble. And the most comforting thing of all is what David closed with. The Lord redeems his servants, and no one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Most everybody here tonight has taken refuge in the Lord, has placed their trust in him. Boy, look at the trouble we'd be in if we still bore the burden of our sins. But he's cleansed us of that. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm grateful that this psalm is part of the collection that we have here in our Old Testament hymn book of the Jews. And I'm grateful that we have that little historical background to the words that were penned there that make these words so meaningful for us. Tonight, Irvin prayed that tonight, if perhaps there's one who needs to respond, that they'll have the courage to do that. If there's someone here tonight who needs prayers, if you need to seek refuge in the Lord, let us pray for you, knowing that the Lord will deliver you from all your troubles. If you need to come, I want you to do it right now as we stand and sing.